Blog Talk Radio.
Days that we have to remember an amazing player, and we are going to do that today with the help of another amazing player, the all-star and champion. Jeanette Gray is going to be here from the Chicago Force, and we are going to talk about Veronica Galizzo, who passed away of a young age this past week or so. And so we're going to give a little tribute to her, get some feedback from Jeanette about her amazing journey as well, and how she came about to contribute to the team and ultimately to a successful franchise that the Chicago Force is. Erica, how did it go last week? I heard it was pretty exciting and everything was good to go, and Scott was on and everybody was on, so it was kind of like a Patriots-Seahawks kind of like convene, but it was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Yeah, I had so much fun. All of those women and Scott, it was just a blast. We all just, you know, talk football and laugh and just really enjoyed it. Everybody that was on, I just loved them, and they were all really great. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I had a good time. I'm pretty sure the fans, everybody listening had a good time too. So it's always fun when you can have more Patriots fans on the radio than any other team.
Yes.
That's always good.
That's right. We got to outnumber Scott a little bit, and so that was fun. But I had some women in arms there, so that was cool.
Yeah, it was really good. Except for I do recall Adrian was part of a gangrene membership, but I don't think she was solid on that.
Yeah, that was mostly, I think she said she liked the color of the hat, and she lives in New York, so she wore it. But they were giving her a hard time about it. But, yeah, so it sounds like she is a Giants fan, though, which was hard to hear. Other than that, it was good.
And I can tell you right now, she's a commuter bee, and she's hardworking and always busting butt. So hats off to you, Adrian. We're just making fun of you, but we already know you're a true and true Boston militia girl, so we're good. We're good on that on the England side. So today we are going to have Jeanette Gray. We're going to have her on right now in a couple minutes here to talk about one of her teammates, longtime member of the Chicago Force that unfortunately passed away unexpectedly this past week. We got the notice in, and we got information off Twitter and everything else. So we want to kind of give a tribute as to what Veronica was all about and how she contributed. She was also in the armed forces, so she's a former soldier as well, and then also contributed on a player end of it and a coaching end of it. So it was kind of, you know, an amazing woman if you would really look at it in the full scope. And so we're going to talk to Jeanette in a couple minutes here. Other than that, the big-time news and notes for the women's game, we just got to give a shout-out to the Sugar and Spice Football League. The Palooza was out there yesterday, and they had an all-star event, as well as congratulations to the 2014 McAllen Mystics, who defeated the Austin Angels. You can get the update scores at SSFL Football on Twitter, or you can go to their site on Facebook at Sugar and Spice Football League. So congratulations to McAllen. That is their third title in a row. They are the only champions since the league started in 2012. They have only lost, I believe, two games in that span of 3 years. So they are a solid squad, so congratulations to them at the Rio Grande Valley McAllen Mystics out there in Texas. We will get the Texas Independent Football League update of the championship as soon as we get the details from them, and we'll update those on Twitter and on Facebook as well. Let's recap the Liga Mexicana de Football League, and that will be on Twitter and Facebook as we get the scores and as the girls feed us the information on their finals. That was week four results. We're looking towards week five, and we'll have the updated posting schedule for that going forward. We have the Gridiron Queensland Women's Division, and you can follow at Women's Gridiron for the update on the scores as well. So congratulations to all the winners out there, Kenmore Panthers, the GC Stingrays, and the rest of the crews and teams out there. Congratulations to them for a good season so far. So they're going into a couple weeks into the season. Christy Moran, and shout out to Lauren Evans as well out there, who are one of our No Joke Football brand supporters out in Gridiron, Queensland, in the women's division of Gridiron Australia. Let's go, Erica, let's talk about a little bit of Legends Football League last night. We had the Atlanta Steam, big shocker. We're looking at Patriots being upset by a lower-seeded team, basically, because Jacksonville was the team to beat coming into the season in the Eastern Conference. And they had a literally almost, I think almost a month off from their last game before they got into this game. So I don't know if the layoff between games really gave it out, but they played a very admirable game. So we'll watch the actual results of that on YouTube next week as LFL presents the Eastern Conference Championship on their YouTube channel at Legends Football League on YouTube. The final score in overtime, 20-14 at Wynnette Arena. It's a shocker. Rookie quarterback Dakota Hughes goes into the Legends Cup for the championship, the LFL championship. Now they have to await next weekend on the 23rd. Los Angeles, who is the three-time champs, Los Angeles now will face Chicago Bliss, last year's champs, for the right to go to Legends Cup to face the Atlanta Steam. So a big underdog in a lot of sense there. What do you think of that?
Yeah, you know, sometimes time off doesn't help. I mean, sometimes it can actually be a hindrance. I've seen that before, you know, even in the NFL when you get that first round bye and they'll play that next game. And I don't know what it is about it, but sometimes time off is actually a detriment to it. So, you know, hats off to Atlanta and kind of overcoming the, you know, slaying the giant, essentially. It's always cool to see an underdog make it in, so.
Yeah, and a lot of the girls on Atlanta, I mean, this is almost a brand-new team from the year before. They kind of revamped the team. Dane Robinson, their coach, sort of a brand-new coach as well. So it's first year in, pretty successful if you consider that end of it, 20-14. They did not, you know, they did not just beat somebody. They actually shocked somebody, which is Jacksonville was literally pinned this year to go all the way because Philadelphia Passion, which used to be the thorn on their side every season, the last two seasons, Tampa Bay would have to normally would face Philadelphia Passion in the Eastern Conference Championship. And Philadelphia was always coming out on top, whether it be a touchdown or 6 points off or two touchdowns off. So this year, it was like Jacksonville's year to go to the Cup, and it's kind of disappointing out there for KK Mattini and Adrian Purnell and Sage Steinsman, who played an amazing season at running back. So hats off to Atlanta, Dakota Hughes, and obviously Alfie Gore, who we posted on Instagram. I gave her a shout-out as well. So Atlanta goes to the Legends Cup final. Now they, like I said, they await Los Angeles Temptation, Carmen Berceau, Monique Axiola on that end. Now we'll face Heather Furr, Christelle Harris, Allie Alberts, and the rest of the clan. And we can't forget Chantel Taylor, the Beast, on the Chicago Bliss defensive side. So it should be a good, great matchup August 23rd. And Chicago is one step away from returning to the championship. If they go to Cup, to the Legends Cup, this could be a back-to-back championship. So last year, the Force in the WFA won the championship, and then Chicago also. So it's kind of a dual championship in traditional football and non-traditional lingerie-style football. So we'll see if the Bliss can continue that trend. This would be, if the Bliss beats Los Angeles again, this would be the second time in a championship final that L.A. will fall to Chicago. So that kind of a bittersweet deal there. And Los Angeles is looking to rebound back into championship form. So let's go into the No Joke Football Huddle. No Joke Football Huddle is sponsored by Zazzle.com. You can get your No Joke Football brand at Zazzle.com/GridironBeauties. Hoodies, tees, leggings, you get daily specials there as well. So you can go there and customize anything you want there with your team colors. It's pretty much you can do anything on the shirt. And so go there. And sometimes we have 15 to 20% off. You can always get a 10% off. Just let us know. Use code ODERSHIP10 to get your discount. So let's go into the huddle, and let's bring in the WFA All-Star, Jeanette Gray, and all Team USA as well from the Chicago Force. And, Jeanette, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. I know it's not the greatest of times. We really appreciate you making the time to talk about Veronica a little bit here and, and obviously the situation that happened. We don't know much details, but at the same time, we really wanted to bring somebody on from the team and just kind of give their thoughts about the – from what we read and from the piece that was done online, pretty amazing woman.
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky enough that I knew – we called her Ro. Nobody really – called her Veronica, we called her Ro, and I was lucky enough to know her well before we became teammates on the force. And in fact, we came in together in 2010 and kind of made the decision to come in together. And it's been tough. It's been tough not only for myself, but for everybody involved in our organization and everyone that she touched throughout her life. And the thing we've been doing for about the last week now is been getting together, reliving the good times we had with her, and we're going to let those good memories carry on.
Now, Jeanette, tell us a little bit about, I know off the field, mom of two, it's been pretty tough probably for the kids at this point. What's going on off the field mentality with non-football related at this point?
Well, I mean, you realize real quick that, things are a lot bigger than football. This is a lot bigger than football. And there's obviously, like I said, not only our team and our people involved in our organization are affected, but people that just knew her as Ro, that knew her outside of football. And, obviously her family's devastated. And so we've been there for them. And, you just kind of take it day by day. And, there'll be different days when some of us need a little bit more comfort than others. And, we kind of rallied around those people on a day-to-day basis and her family as well. And we'll have her memorial service on Tuesday, and that'll be a tough day for everybody, but her life does need to be celebrated.
Yeah. Jeanette, by any chance, do you have any details as to what happened in terms of a physical state or anything? I know that the piece didn't dwell on to what could have caused something like that. It was just sudden. Do you guys know anything in actual what the cause was?
I don't know anything yet. It was just, sudden. She's, 39 years old? Just real sad. I mean, for anybody to pass unexpectedly is sad, but someone so young, and that was such a big part, and just so full of life. And she was always the one taking care of us. Just unexpected, kind of out of the blue. And there was a majority of us that were with her earlier in the day. And then I got a phone call at about 9:30 at night from Don Peterson, one of our offensive linemen, and told me the news.
Yeah, and that was probably very hard to, realize that she's obviously no longer here. I know we were talking off air with Erica that I've had, some acquaintances that obviously there's aneurysms that happen unexpectedly where somebody just feels and looks just normal. And then a couple hours later, they just collapse. So, that's the form that I've witnessed before, which is an aneurysm where it just happens to it's unfortunate that it happened in it, but it happens. And it's, no accident, no real severe issue like that, but it's sort of like a sleep mode type deal where it just collapsed. So that's why I was asking whether it was something similar to that or not.
Yeah, it just kind of makes you realize that you just never know. And that sounds kind of scary, but, it also kind of refocus and say, hey, I can't waste too much time every day. And You know, it just stinks. It really stinks, and it hurts. You know, a lot of us are kind of angry and grieving in very different ways.
Yep.
we'll get through it. We'll get through it together. We have each other, and you know, Sammy Gustafi is going to sing a little tribute at her memorial service on Tuesday, which will be pretty cool that Sammy's choosing to do that under such tough circumstances, but seems appropriate for what she meant to us and what our organization is about.
Now, Jeanette, let's talk about Veronica a little bit here.
Sure.
Teammate as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming as a coach, contributed to a lot of the success that the team's had in the last couple of years since 2010. So tell us a little bit about Veronica, the player, and you know, her drive for success for you guys on the field,
sure.
Not just as a player, but also as a coach.
Yeah, she was only able to play 1 year. She had some issues with concussions, and she was an offensive lineman. Her rookie year, she was offensive player of the year for our team. I mean, she was a beast. If you were running the ball, you wanted her out front blocking for you, you know. Just very passionate about football, very passionate about our team. Would do anything for any of her teammates, whether it was, you know, on the field, what you need to do, or off the field, helping people move, you know, from one place to another with her big old pickup truck. She'd load it up and she'd help move you, or, you know, she'd be the first one there when you needed help. And very, you know, there's not a nice way to say this, but maybe this is nice. She was just loud, very loud, very opinionated, and she was going to let you know what she thought. And as a coach, there was a couple of times where she would come up to me and she'd put her hand on my helmet or her hand on my short band. She just said, "Jeanette, your blocking absolutely stunk on that play," you know, and that was real. That was just how she did things.
Nice. The good thing is that we have the, like you said before, the good memories on it. Erica, you have anything to add to ask Jeanette as well?
Oh, just, you know, reading the piece about her, not knowing her, you know, not knowing one thing about her, I can tell that, you know, she's an amazing person. When you have that many people that will miss her and say the things that they said about her, you know that she was amazing. What I really got was, you know, that she had been discharged from the Army with the Chapter 15 for being a lesbian. I just saw she was not apologetic about who she was, that she was who she was, and she wasn't going to apologize for that. And that she had, it just seemed like she had an immense amount of integrity, and that she knew what she wanted out of life, and my condolences go out to you and everyone that knew her.
Thank you.
She's somebody I wish I could have met, honestly, just from reading about her. I think, you know, she would have just been an amazing person to meet. So.
Yeah, I mean, she had, you know, the issues she stood for and the things she believed in, she was, you know, just like our team, very passionate about, and wouldn't back down from, you know, from anybody in terms of what she believed in and what she thought was right versus what she thought was wrong. And that was a pretty cool person to have in your corner to be associated with for, you know, especially for the younger players. And, you know, there's somebody that, you know, was a little bit older, had a lot more life experience, which is probably the best teacher in the whole world, and was really able to kind of, whatever message she wanted to get across, she was going to get it across, and you could take it or leave it. But she was definitely, she was going to tell you how she felt. She was going to stand up for the issues she believed in, and that was one of the coolest things about her.
That's awesome. That's amazing. That, you know, there's not, you don't meet too many people in life that are like that, and that's just amazing that she was able to touch so many people.
Yeah, she was, and she did. She was, you know, friends with everybody, and you know, now it's our turn to be friends to her family and celebrate what she did for each and every one of us.
Now, Jeanette, I know the owner. I think it's Linda, right? Linda Camarello.
Yeah, Linda Bichet.
Linda knew her a lot more than probably all the players because she got to work with her. But it's such a great thing that she's able to, do a tribute and really salute all the contributions that she's contributed to the squad.
Yeah, I mean, and that's such the one of the great things about playing for the Chicago Force. I mean, I think a lot of our success on the field is not only attributed to our coaching and, you know, the great athletes that, and the talent that we have, but also just the dynamic off the field, and we truly are a family, and we're going to have our arguments, but we, for the most part, in the 5 years I've been there, we get through those arguments, and then you're back to loving each other again, and Linda's a huge part of that. You know, leadership from the top down, from her to our coach, John Konecki, and and that's helping now, that family feel that we've been able to foster over the last few years. You're really glad you have that in times like this.
Now, you said that I'm going to do a tribute. Are you guys going to send that out on Twitter, on social media, so we can share that event? Are you guys creating any type of event, or are you guys going to keep it in-house, just family for now?
You know what? They sent out on our Players Only Facebook page when it was and where it was in terms of is it open to the public? I'm not sure. That's something I couldn't tell you was true or not, but I know there's a fund set up to help Ro and her family with funeral expenses and some of the other things that have been going on, and I know anybody can contribute to that. And that's been flying around Facebook and Twitter, I don't know. I'll go ahead and I'll post it on Twitter so people have the link to that.
Yeah, if you can just do that for us, that would be great. That way we can retweet and see if we can help out and get the word out and see how many people would like to contribute to that, obviously, to help out and put it out there. And then every dollar is obviously going to matter at this point to make it as smooth a transition as possible for everybody.
Yeah, we're trying to raise about $10,000 right now. We're at about $5,700, so a little bit more to go, and hopefully people will be generous and we'll get there.
Yeah, no problem. And that's like I said, that's why I wanted to have you come on. And you know, I was trying to get Jamie on because I know that's her cousin, but I now understand the circumstances. But I wanted to get somebody on so that we can spread the word out through radio as well as social media and just get the word out so that at least we get more, more awareness of it, so you can actually see if more contributions would come your way at this point and make it a little easier.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. So, Jeanette, Veronica is, or Ro, as we want to remember, Ro, just seems to us from what you're telling us right now, I mean, just an amazing person that contributed a lot in terms of, well-being, family. And like you said, she's, hard-nosed coach when needed to be. And when you put together the age, like you said before, and the amount of potential still remaining, it really gets, it really does hit the heart because you're thinking, this is a 39-year-old woman that still had a lot to live for and do that. So we are praying at this point for everybody to, and transition is always a hard one, but we're praying and our condolences go out to her family as well as to the whole squad on the Chicago Force for losing, obviously, an amazing woman ultimately and a player and coach that obviously contributed a lot to the success of the franchise.
Yeah, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
All right, Jeanette, so we will look forward to the details of the link. We'll also look forward to anything else that you can feed out on Twitter, and we'll just retweet that if that's the case, or anything on the Chicago Force website that we can feed out so that we can get some more donation dollars towards that so we can help the family out and her family out to make the transition a lot smoother in terms of, obviously losing an individual head figure, is really hard to do, to make up. So hopefully, like you said, with all the bonding that you guys have done, and hopefully her kids will receive that love from each and every one of you guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, Jeanette, thank you for making the time. I really appreciate it, and look forward to the information, and I hope the service goes really well, and it becomes a wonderful ending to an amazing athlete and, like I said, an amazing woman.
Yeah, it'll be a tough day, but it'll be a great celebration of her and everything that she's done for us. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeanette. Have a great time out there, and we look forward to the information and, like I said, our condolences again to the family and to the whole staff and the team.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you, and thanks for all you do for women's football. I really appreciate it. Take care.
All right, Jeanette, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jeanette.
All right, Erica, you know, it's one of those bad gut feelings in your stomach that you can't get over. You know what I mean? It's like a bad stomach ache that lingers and lingers and lingers. And I know personally I've had, you know, losses. My father-in-law passed away, and I think all of us have gone through that. And it's one of those times where you just, you either go angry or you try to remember everything, all the good times. But, you know, it still takes a time and its toll to overcome and kind of like, you know, go back to normal.
Yeah. Yeah, and like Jeanette said, you know, it makes you realize how precious life is and really, you know, how fragile and short it is, and that, you know, we need to be thankful for the people around us all the time and, you know, make sure we're not taking people for granted, because you never know, you know, what's going to happen. And, you know, just from what Jeanette said about her, she sounded like she was just such an amazing person. And it's so sad. I feel just bad for everybody.
39, you know, like I said, you would think everybody was, you know, would never have thought, like Jeanette said, nobody would have thought that this would happen. But unfortunately, that's how life is. And sometimes we do get those unexpected phone calls, and we cannot believe that this, you know, the individual that we assume was going to live a long time, it so happens it, you know, it's cut short. So only God knows, you know, the reasoning behind it. At this point, we look forward to the link that Jeanette will send us. We hope that everybody listening to us will contribute in some format or another, a small amount of money or a large amount of money, towards helping Ro and her family transition into a good state, and her kids as well, and her remaining family, to help out them and to transition into normality again.
Yeah, for sure. Everything helps. No matter the amount you can give, anything helps.
So we'll go from a little sad state here and go back into maybe a little sadder state, because it can't get any worse than somebody passing away. But I don't know if we can uplift ourselves to talk about football, but we'll do our best right here to talk about football. NFL preseason, my Rams looked pretty good. Bradford looked pretty good. There's a couple teams that look good, but as I've tweeted before, preseason is literally something you can just vomit on, because there's nothing that will tell you about what's going on into the first week of the season. So I just thought, okay, well, Bradford looks good against Green Bay for a couple series there. So, but ultimately, there's real no gauge. So that's my thought process on the NFL preseason so far.
Yeah, it's just more, you know, exercise, get, you know, be in a game situation, get them, you know, I think it's, you know, for these younger guys to really get that game experience when it doesn't matter a ton, and for them to kind of, you know, when the clock is going and, you know, you need to do this on time, it's, you know, a game is so dramatically different than practice. So I think it's good for kind of the more of the rookies and the kind of the 1 or 2 year players that are on the team, for them to get, you know. I was interested with, you know, seeing Brady with, as far as the receivers and what kind of chemistry they're building there. You know, you can kind of feel that out. The quarterback can kind of feel that out with his receivers in a game situation. But again, it doesn't matter a whole lot. So I like to see, and I like to watch preseason for the depth chart. It's a good time to see what the depth chart's going to, you know, how it's going to shape out. So.
Yeah, and I was watching the games, a couple games, and I was watching the Giants game, I was watching the Rams game, kind of flag happy. So I don't know if that's going to be what we're looking to expecting in the regular season, but there's a lot of fives going out there in this preseason. I don't know why. It might be me, but it looked like there's more flags than normal.
I watched a couple of preseason games, and I actually didn't see very many. So maybe it depends on the officiating crew, too. Because, like, when I was watching the Eagles-Patriots games, there were a couple of times, and this is on both sides. This is on, both, you know, the Patriots and Eagles both committing penalties that were never called. So I don't, you know, I don't know how that's going to shape out this year. It'll be interesting to see because it seemed like the last couple of years that it's just been a complete debacle as far as officiating was concerned. So, you know, I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, and I'm... And like I said, it's probably game per game, so we'll see how it turns out in the next 2 weeks. I think we're 3 weeks out of the first regular season kickoff game. We'll see how that transitions out. But as we get closer to the end of preseason, like you said, the depth and the rest and the rosters get adjusted. So that'll give us a clearer picture about the last week of preseason, what we're going to be looking for the first week of the regular season.
Yeah. For sure. I watched the Jaguars-Bears game, and I, because, you know, obviously I've been very vocal about the Jaguars and what I thought, and they looked really good. I was really pleased with how the Jaguars looked. I thought they looked, you know, obviously, like you said, this is preseason, but I think you compare this team, even in preseason, to last year, and they look 100% better.
Yeah, I agree. I think they looked... they look pretty good, and I think, honestly, right now we're looking at three more weeks to really assess them in terms of how they're going to, you know, do in the regular season. But overall, you know, you pointed out before that pretty decent quarterback. I don't know what their backup looked like at this point, but overall, I think in the next 2 weeks we'll see exactly how they're going to turn out in the first week.
Yeah, Chad Henne started the game against the Bears. He looked good, and then Bortles, you know, is his backup in that game. I think this preseason week three, they're going to give Bortles the start to see how he looks. You know, no matter who they start, Bortles or Henne, I think both of them look really good. I think, you know, them beefing up their O-line has helped and get them some weapons, and, you know, we'll have to see, but I think they look good.
Yeah, and if we want to talk about the football, you know, we are waiting the New York Jets championship run, so we'll see how that turns out. I haven't seen them in action yet in preseason, so we're assuming Rex Ryan is getting things undercover, not giving us anything really to work with yet until to the first week of the season.
Yeah, he's playing that close to this there with his lackluster offense. But, I mean, they beat the Bengals, sure, but it doesn't sound like Geno Smith or Michael Vick really did much in that win. I don't know. But, yeah, they're making a championship run, though. Everybody said so.
Well, I'm just giving you the heads up that the AFC East is going to be a tough battle because Gangrene is ready to rock this year. That's what we're told. So.
Yep, and when Rex Ryan says it happens.
I'm actually more excited about Buffalo than I am about any other team. Not to neglect your Patriots, of course, but I'm actually kind of excited about Buffalo and see what season two there is with EJ Manuel and see how that works out.
Yeah, you know, as far as, you know, the AFC East goes, I like Ryan Tannehill, so I like to watch the Dolphins. And I'll cheer for the Dolphins as long as they're not playing the Patriots. So I'm excited to see. I'm hoping, you know, the Dolphins have really beefed up their O-line. Tannehill was sacked a crazy amount of times last year, and he still performed pretty good. So you can imagine if they gave the guy some protection and some time to throw, how good he could perform. So I'm excited to see, you know, what the Dolphins are going to do. They just acquired Brady Quinn. I don't expect him to start, but, you know, he'll get some reps and stuff, I'm sure, in preseason. So.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he'll be a factor at some point because Miami looks like a brand-new revamped team also, so we'll see how effective they are in the division. You know, Buffalo, like I said, I'm pretty excited to see Buffalo and see how Buffalo will react and how they'll turn things around. I mean, they deserve to at least, you know, finish up in a little higher than they've been doing the last couple seasons, and the fans deserve, especially with Bon Jovi trying to hook up the team with ownership. So we'll see if maybe that makes a big difference on there. Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota, and Detroit, I don't know how to gauge them yet, but I am very confident that Trestman, the coach, Coach Trestman, I think will be very effective this season as from last season. So the team to beat, I think, will probably be Chicago in that division, not to rule out the Packers yet, but for the most part, I think they will probably be the team to beat in that division.
Yeah, you know, I still have my doubts about Cutler's ability to long-term lead the team into a successful kind of charge for the playoffs. And we've already seen that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, can do it. I think if the Packers can stay healthy, they were just so injured last year. I think if the Packers were to stay healthy, that they're probably going to win the division, in my opinion. Like I said, Chicago, I like Chicago other than Jay Cutler. I just wish that they had a different quarterback and I would be able to cheer for them.
Yeah, did you check out the Eli Manning, Peyton Manning video yet?
I did see that. The rapping, I did watch it. It was quite...
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
I thought it was done really well. I give them props for that.
Yeah, they do cheesy really well. It was hilarious. So those two, they have so much personality. It was really great. DirecTV has, found a gold mine in those two.
Yeah, and Peyton has always done really good commercials, so it's not new to him. You know, Eli may be a little new, but for the most part, Peyton Manning's kind of like a natural for it.
Yeah, for sure. So right now, the Broncos are beating the 49ers 34-0. So
yeah, I'm really worried.
It's not a game I, really care about, but it's just surprising that the 49ers haven't been able to score at all.
That's true. But it's preseason, so like I said, I don't know how to take that. It's like getting invited to your prom and then somebody turning around and go, I don't really want to go with you. So it's kind of like that's how it works out. You know what I mean? It's like, here's Denver, but I don't really want to go with you. So it's not a real-life experience on my behalf, by the way. I did get asked to go to the prom. Throwing that out there as a normal status.
Sure.
I'm just saying. I'm not there or anything. It's not a bit of art. There's friends of mine that didn't get asked. So I'm just throwing that out there as a normal state. Just like you said, they're getting beat down. It's the same thing as getting turned down to go to the prom or something like that.
Yeah. That's when you got to get a group together and just go, though. You just got to say, we're just going to do it. We're just going to go.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm going to get off that subject right away. But to football... we go to, the rest of the divisions. The Texans, I saw a little bit, but I didn't see much. Indy, probably going to be a little bit better. I'm still questioning this Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, this whole division. I don't know. It just seems like it's going to be a tossed-up year again. I'm really rooting for Cleveland. Because LeBron's there now and Johnny Manziel's there, and I know God has plans for Cleveland to succeed this year somehow. I just feel it in my bones, you know what I mean? It's like Cleveland, the orange and white, the orange and brown is going to be – it's already on NFL Network every week, so it's like, come on. It's like you got to give them at least something.
The Browns are the new Cowboys.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Unfortunately, Manziel's no Romo yet, but we don't know that yet.
No, we don't. But, yeah, the Browns are the new Cowboys. They're everywhere you go. They're on TV.
And it's a good sign for Cleveland because they've never gotten really good press. So I guess I don't feel bad. I mean, I don't feel bitter or like if the Cowboys was on all the time. I know we have Cowboy fans on, but let me tell you something. I know Texas is big, but we do not need bigger news, and Romo on top of it. We don't need that. It's bad. I mean, give me a little bit of Brady and how dry he is and how he can't make you know, certain things. I mean, it should be not rated a certain ranking. Or, I mean, we could talk about that instead. But Romo 24/7. I mean, people were tweeting me that he caused his alma mater's basketball game because he was there live.
So what's his alma mater? I don't even know.
I think it was Kentucky U, if I'm correct. Yeah.
He wasn't even drafted, I don't think it was Kentucky U.
It was actually, what is it, the Devils? I can't remember. I'm so bad at basketball. The Blue Devils, I think it is. His alma mater, Blue Devils. But anyways, off the Romo bench on here, what have you seen so far in the NFL preseason, and who do you think right now, you know, you already talked about a couple of teams. I really think the West is going to be shaken up this year. I don't think it's going to be a solid. I think the division, Chicago is going to be stood out there. It's going to stand out. I'm looking at New England to be New England once again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be shocked if Gangrene somehow shocks me because, you know, from what I'm told. And Pittsburgh to return to glory, I don't see it. Cincinnati, seems like it's going to be the same season again, pretty decent season during the week, during the season, and then they're going to just kind of fall off the face of the earth like they've done every other year.
Dalton needs
my assessment so far.
Yeah, Andy Dalton definitely needs to start winning in the playoffs. He just got a contract extension. He needs to start showing that he's worth the green. They're shelling out. I definitely expect the Texans to do much better than they did last year, which isn't going to be hard, but after a 2-win last year. But with Bill O'Brien and Clowney made a real show this week. So I expect the Texans to do much better. I expect a lot out of the Cardinals. I know that's probably hard to hear, but I think the Cardinals should be good this year. I'm interested to see the Raiders, actually, with kind of the off-season moves they have made. I'm interested to see what they're going to do. I have some really good friends that are Raiders fans, and I was telling them, like, I think they're going to be decent this year. And he's like, oh, man, I hope you're right. So Raiders fans have patiently been waiting the return to glory. So we'll see.
Yeah, and it looks like it might be, like you said, there's hope there because they've done some changes. So we'll see how effective they're going to be in that division. Denver, I still think Denver owns it. Kansas City, you might put second at this point. But the Raiders would, to have a decent season, the Raiders would have to literally battle San Diego for the third spot. So that would be exciting. Phillip Rivers really always disappoints towards the end anyways. I mean, kind of excites you and then all of a sudden kind of lets you down. So I don't know if that will be the same plan in San Diego.
Phillip Rivers is the Romo of California.
Yeah, I hate to say that, yes, but I believe you're true.
They really kind of, don't they mirror each other? Don't you see, oh, they're just so great, and then they come out and you're just like, oh my gosh, what happened? So, yeah. I think the
Chiefs are true.
I know. He's the Romo of the West Colts. I mean, you know, it's sad for Chargers fans, but what are you gonna do?
Gridiron Girls College Feel. Let's just get the fans involved here. Do you guys kick off your insights? Is it this week or is it in a couple weeks? Is there any names we should be watching out for on the site for reviews and stuff like that?
You know, all of our columns, our college columns, are great. Our Oregon and our Alabama, because Oregon and Alabama were just ranked in the top five. So you really want to keep your eye on that because both of them are hilarious and awesome and really great. Our Oregon writer, Nicole, is actually having a TV show this year. So if you live in Oregon or Washington, you're going to want to check that out. She's awesome. Keep your eye on Oregon and Alabama because there's always lots going on there. my University of Washington, my Huskies, there are, with Chris Peterson taking over, you're going to want to keep your eye on the Huskies. Chris Peterson is amazing. He is really doing some great things over there, so you're going to want to read my University of Washington column. And we need a Florida State writer, so I'm going to put that out there, ladies. We need a Florida State writer. So if you're interested and you're a Florida State fan, please get a hold of me at PestFangirl12 because we would love to have you.
So we got East Coast, West Coast on Gridiron Girls, pretty much all covered pretty much at this point. So that's awesome. So
yeah.
You guys can go to gridirongirls.org for all the latest. And you also have, we forgot, we also have tailgate and recipes for the season as well.
Yes. Yeah, party ideas, recipes, all that stuff is there. So we're actually going to be doing a site redesign here soon. So if you go there and there's some issues, that's just what's going on. But, yeah, and if you see a college that isn't listed and you're a fan and you'd love to write, ladies, get a hold of us. We're always looking for new writers. So, and then my pro talk,
so,
my NFL.
Yeah, so, Erica, you're on cover three. So kind of, you know, branching out to get the Gridiron Girls College and NFLs. So tell us a little bit about where you're going to be at so people can follow you as well. You're going to be on cover three frequently, right?
Yeah. She started, I'm going to be kind of on a rotation basis, a co-host. You can go, it's at cover three. It's on, the link's on my Twitter. I had to get my words together there. And you can follow that on Twitter. It's so much fun. It's a web show with Miss M. She's a huge Redskins fan. She has season tickets, so she gets to go to all the games. She also likes the Patriots, which is always fun. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I love to talk football, so I'll be on there, you know, kind of on a permanent rotation basis. And so you guys would love it. I lost my train of thought, so now I sound like I'm rambling. But, yeah, so check us out. And then I'll be doing my videos soon, my rants. You'll want to check those out on my YouTube link on my Twitter. I'm going to have a video up probably NFL week one. I'll put a video up.
Well, we look forward to the links to cover three and covering, obviously cover three, you're going to be covering the NFL as well as you, as we talk NFL here as well. So, so it's going to be great to have you branch out and get the word out for gridirongirls.org as well. And college season is always very exciting for, you know, nationwide, because like you said, there's a lot of exciting football between Oregon and Alabama, East, West, and you still got the Middle East, the Midwest and the Texas swing as well to cover. So a lot, you know, it's always, I never got into college football besides UCLA Bruins, but I can tell you right now, I have a lot of friends that are not NFL, you know, diehards, but they are college football diehards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, also our University of Texas writer, Rebecca, she is absolutely hilarious. Every time I read her articles, I am laughing so hard. So be sure to check out Rebecca's Texas column as well.
And so going forward in a couple of shows here, we will see if you can hook us up with them so that we can bring them on here and they can give us a little insight and the fans can kind of gauge with them as well and see what they're all about in terms of a voice because they'll be reading their pieces. But it's always nice to have, you know, the person behind that piece kind of in a voice setting. So then we can present them as well. Depending on what's going on in the season, we can bring in one of those two writers just kind of like, on a, you know, on a guest mode and kind of give us an idea what's going on in the college scene for us as well so we can cover the NFL and a little bit of college while it's in season as well as obviously maintain the women's gridiron scene internationally, which we have now in Australia right now. That's, and Mexico's finishing up in about 2 weeks here, and the LFL Australia and the Gridiron Australia season is going to be in full swing till about January or February, so we have a down under to look forward to.
Yeah, you know, Gridiron Girl, we fully support women's football. You know, we love to, you know, post links on our Twitter and all of that. We do. We fully support women's football, and you know, I've been made more aware of it, and I've, you know, been talking to all of the writers that, you know, at Gridiron Girl, and we all think it's so awesome, and it's, I feel so fortunate to be able to, you know, be on this radio program, not only to talk NFL, but learn more about women's game and just talk to some exceptional women and coaches and people involved. And so, yeah, I will, you know, it'll be fun to get Nicole on here. Our teams are actually diehard rivals. She's the Oregon and Washington. We're diehard rivals. So it'll be fun to get her on here and, you know, like you said, put a voice to the writing.
Yeah, it's always exciting to know and what the person is, you know, what the person is all about, and then also put a voice. It's always nice to know the voice because it kind of gives you a better perspective of their writing style and everything else. So we are, I don't know if you kind of realize it on Twitter, but we're having a No Joke Football shoot in the U.K., courtesy of Gridiron Photography and Juicy Lucy 27. And that's the model that we're going to do. So we're waiting for the No Joke Football shoot this week to finish up. So we'll have that up for you guys within probably 10 days from now. We'll be showcasing some of the apparel that's going on. We are working right now to try to get UK First Down to do a contest out there, to do a No Joke Football contest as well. We have some things working with LIBF in Mexico. So behind the scenes, we're doing some things that are going to make a little bit of an impact there. We are grateful to Zazzle.com for their amazing customer service. They supply us with a great platform. If you go to the website, Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties, it's the only website on Zazzle with women's apparel, women's-related, women's gridiron apparel, I might say. And if you decide to buy something and you decide to change your mind and don't like it, it's a guarantee right there. If you don't like it, they'll take it back. It's just as simple as that, 100% customer satisfaction, and they will do their best to make sure that you're happy. So our brand is more than grateful to them as well for doing that logistically, because it's a nightmare if you're doing it by yourself and trying to sell it on an email basis or doing that aspect of it, and then you got to do shipping. And so, you know, it was great for them to come to partner with us with our brand. And going forward, we're lining up a Spain photo shoot in Spain. I'm working on some on a photo shoot in Germany and France right now for the apparel brand. So it'll be down the road here probably in the 18 months going forward. So I want to give a shout out to every woman that has put on a No Joke Football gear that has supported us since day one. Give a shout out to Monique Axiola for being the first one that supported our brand, and we can't have a better individual, you know, portraying women's sport out there. We also have amazing women. They have come on board since that time. We have Christy Moran, Lauren Evans, Jeanette Gray here. Within the next couple weeks or a month or so, we're going to hook her up as well. So we have a lot of women that have contacted us that want to support our brand because they know that this is going to be marketing. The slogan really states what these women do on the field and what they're capable of doing and what some of us have not seen yet because obviously they're because of the mass exposure not being out there.
Yeah, I have a shirt and I love it. It's so warm and it's long sleeved and the slogan on it is just, it says because it's football and it's perfect. It's, you know, that states everything right there. And I don't play, but I have a passion for the game and I have such respect for what these women do. And so definitely you guys will love the clothes, so buy it.
And we get a lot of requests, and the only reason I'm bringing it up is because we get a lot of requests from people and says, hey, I want to do that. The whole basis for it is I don't pay out of my own pocket. So as the sales get generated, it's on a 90-day window. So every 90 days, the funds get converted into dollars. Once the funds get converted into dollars, that's when we distribute the gear to each individual a player that we will have on a list. And we have a player on a list and it's usually a 90-day wait. So if a player contacts me and we're willing to work with that player and they're willing to tweet, retweet on social media and post selfies and do whatever they got to do to expose our brand as well so that people know that women do play American football, it's a 90-day basis. So bear with us, and I really appreciate everybody's patience for helping us out. We're going to go internationally as well, as we announced this week, at IRUDA, which is Sophia Venvey. She's decided to do that. We'll have Moon Arandia as well, off of Mexico. So we have a couple girls coming on board in different international scenes. So we have in Australia, we have our two representatives. We have our representatives in the UK soon here. We'll have representatives in every facet and every league that women's gridiron is played is where we want to be. So we're going into Italy soon, probably within the next 6 to 8 months, and we'll have that as well. So we're making strides in that sense. And on a marketing level and a social media-based level, that's how we're going to penetrate the market and really have everybody understand that women's football is what it is. It's a no joke. Women's football is no joke. So
that's cool. Yeah, I wish you all the luck with that too. I hope it just blows up and people realize, you know, how cool this stuff is, and women's football definitely needs more notice. They're underappreciated and undernoticed. So hopefully this just blows up and people realize.
And, you know, Adrienne's come on board, and you've talked to her a couple times, and she's making some strides. And to her point, you know, it's about time that in the U.S., the two leagues in the U.S. actually convene, just like the AFL and the NFL did back in the 70s. I think that would be a great starting point for a women's game in the U.S., because then it would be a one solid league that would stand out internationally and then go forward. But overall, I really appreciate everybody's support. I really appreciate you guys following us on at gridirongirl.org, at TapsFanGirl12, at Gridiron Beauty. We really appreciate you guys communicating with us on Twitter primarily, but also on Facebook. You can always post anything on our Facebook page that's related to the women's game, to football in general, for women's football. You're welcome to do that anytime. Let us know. You can always direct message us if you have any questions on that. But overall, we're here to support the game. Ultimately, it's football, and that's what we want to portray and put out to the fans. So Erica's going to be in the swing mode, like she talked about earlier. We got Gridiron Girls going into the college scene as well as the NFL scene. So it's going to be like kind of exciting times now for the next couple of months as we get into NFL. And if nobody's ever seen your rants before, they will get to see your rants, which is awesome.
That's right. And opinion about me may change. It may not change. But, yeah, there's a lot of fun. They're called Are You Kidding Me? And they're basically just like it says, you know. I said it on Cover 3 this week. Coaches, players, even the fans in the stands, they do things that make you go, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, we're all thinking it. So it's fun to do, fun to highlight that. And I want to say we did fill up all the spots for the Gridiron Girl Fantasy Football team. So I just want to say thank you for getting that out there, and we appreciate it.
Awesome. I hope it works out and everybody has fun, because that's what it's all about. You get too serious on fantasy football, you really start to, you know, throw juice and everything else across just like a bad owner. Just, you know, you're pouting and stuff. You know what I mean? Especially when you're playing fantasy football for money. When you're playing it just for no money, but when you're playing for money and when you have to buy players by money and the players, I was on a league before, and I will be honest with you, I was not the best person to deal with for that, you know, 17 weeks in the season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it
was not.
Yeah, I do.
My wife's like, you're just an a-hole. I said, I'm in the cellar. What do you want me to do? I'm trying to make up for this and these players. You know, and just, you can go overboard. That's all I'm saying.
You can. I say throwing things for Patriots games, to be honest. I watch Patriots games at home. I don't go anywhere because I do end up throwing things, I'll be honest. It is not pretty. But, fantasy football, the beginner league this year, I started it. Hopes that anybody that was too intimidated, you know, to join with friends that had experience, that we could all just come together. I have a guide up, actually, at gridirongirl.org. I just published a guide on tips on how to pick your players, how the scoring works, all of that. So if you guys are interested, you can go over there. It's in the fantasy football section. So I'm just, you know, hope it's fun and easygoing type of environment. Next year we'll kind of do a more experienced league. But for now, hopefully there's nobody that gets too intense with it.
Yeah, and it should be fun, like I said. If you don't take it out of, you don't get too serious about it, it's usually very fun to do because, at some point you do get mad at something, but overall, if you can contain yourself and not break a glass window or, you know, torture your kids or, you know, go into that motion where your husband hates you for 17 weeks, then, you know, you're going to be fine. You know what I mean? You're just going to be fine. So I'm looking forward to my Rams since Dan Green's going to win the championship. I just figured I'd be bold enough and say I'm looking forward to the Rams being in the Super Bowl this year because they just have that faith in me.
Is it Rams versus Jets in the Super Bowl? Are you calling it right now?
I'm calling it right now. Jets, Rams in the Super Bowl.
Right.
I'm not drunk right now, but I should be drunk.
You're not drunk.
I should be
but
drunk
But you're
right
talking
now.
Like you're drunk. Yeah.
I know, seriously. Sam Bradford was just looked amazing on that preseason game, so I'm calling it Super Bowl.
So you're
right
calling
there.
It.
You
need a tattoo.
How crazy
like those people do. Get that tattoo that says Rams Super Bowl whatever champions.
Yeah, I was gonna do that on my rear end, but my wife said no. She's a Bear fan, and she's not gonna mess with the that kind of deal. No, she said no. Forget
she's a Bears fan. I should watch what I say then.
Gosh. Can you imagine having a tattoo on your behind like that of a logo?
No.
I don't know.
No, I have.
Anyways,
I have a Pate logo on my foot. I have a Patriots tattoo on my foot.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, I have no problem with that. It's when you get too internal that I get to that point where like, okay, there's no reason to show off, and then if the next person you're hanging out with doesn't like that, then you're not going to have a good time anyway, so. What are you going to do, Band-Aid it or what they call it, duct tape for everything? Just put a band for now.
Right. Duct tape over your tattoo?
Yeah, no, she wasn't very kind to that. So we had to come to some sort of, what do you call it, a marriage agreement. So that's how it works.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
But overall, I think we've had a good rapport, and I appreciate you filling in last week and the next couple weeks as things get, like I said, I'll probably be in and out as well. But I want to thank Scott and everybody else that helped you out, as well as the militia ladies that did a wonderful job.
Definitely.
And so so you had a great time. So that's all we got this week. But we want to thank Jeanette for coming on and giving us some insight on the amazing woman that Veronica Rowe Gazzillo of the Chicago Force, and they call her Rowe, so we'll call her Rowe. So we wish her family and everyone involved with her, the team, the squad, this coming week, obviously on Tuesday, they're going to have the services, and our prayers go with the family to make sure that their transition is smooth and they get support as much as they can. And, time will heal, as they say, and that's what life's all about.
That's right. And the link, obviously, you'll have it on yours, and we'll retweet it on Gridiron Girl as well to see if we can, raise the money for the family and help them out.
Yeah, Jeanette is going to get us that information, direct message us to us, and then she'll link it on her Twitter feed, and then we'll go from there on that behalf. So for Erica Lang Anderson, Oscar Lopez, we appreciate everybody listening and tuning in and giving us a great rapport and great reception on our Twitter and social media. And once again, our condolences go out to the Chicago Force family, the WFA family, and to Veronica Rowe Galizzo family out there. If I'm pronouncing it wrong, I apologize. But we wish them well, and our prayers are with them for this hard week. But we know that things will get easier and hopefully better over time.
Yes, definitely. Have a good night, everybody.
All right, everybody, have a great night. We'll see you next week for another edition of Gridiron Beauties Blitz. And you can always find out our podcast at ultimatesportstalk.com. Have a great evening, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.